Part of me is with the Pharisees. I'm all about washing our hands before we eat. Washing cups and pots and bronze vessels and vacuuming our dining couches. The Pharisees, by doing so, are also minimizing rodents, insects, and germs. But when Jesus' disciples come from dinner, they wrap their grubby hands around their cups. They grab the polished copper and bronze vessels with their grimy hands. They put their dirty feet all over their spotless dining couches. The Pharisees and scribes are not just offended by these disciples' bad manners, they're offended by Jesus. Because Jesus has not taught them to follow the tradition of the elders. Jesus does not make them wash their hands before supper. The Pharisees and scribes most certainly could have pointed to the scriptures. In both Exodus and Leviticus, the priests are instructed to wash their hands and their feet ritually before eating. They're even, these priests, are threatened by death if they do not do so. But this is a commandment for priests. They want to apply it to everyone. The thinking is this: if God wants the Levites to wash their hands and feet in the temple ritually, the elders thought, wouldn't it be good for all of us to also wash our hands and feet before supper? It seems like a pretty harmless rule, doesn't it, to follow the tradition of the elders. The problem with that is that instead of being an involuntary act or a voluntary act of piety, they make it into a rule and a tradition and a command. And they measure people's devotion to God and actually describe what their position with God is according to this human commandment. And so the Pharisees and scribes ask Jesus, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? What sort of rabbi are you, Jesus? Why do your followers act like such uneducated and irreverent people? And Jesus' response to them is harsh. Isaiah prophesied rightly about you, hypocrites, as it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God for human tradition. God had you in mind, Pharisees and scribes, when Isaiah wrote these words generations earlier. Your washing and your polishing may brighten your vessels and your cups, but there is still a stain on your soul. Your hands may look clean, but you ignore the uncleanliness of your hearts and your spirits. What I believe bothers Jesus so much is not the washing and polishing and sweeping before they eat. It is their judgmental attitude toward others who don't. It's measuring people's religiosity and placing people into easily formed categories. By their focus on tradition, these religious teachers have twisted the word of God. By their attention to rituals and rubrics, they no longer even know themselves what true devotion is. If Jesus thought Isaiah's words were God's word for the Pharisees and scribes, then how much more are those words for us? It reminds us not to put human tradition above God's command. Sadly, in our own nation's history and Canada's, the United States, some Christians tried to civilize before they evangelized the Native American population, requiring the cutting of their hair, a change in their wardrobe, prohibiting their native tongues. Just a few generations ago, even in our church body, many of our churches prohibited dancing or wearing skirts above the knee. A few years ago, I was asked by a visitor to this church, "What kind of Lutheran church is this?" I said, "This is a Lutheran church, Missouri Synod." She said, "Oh, do you mean Misery Synod?" We called it Misery Synod because they wouldn't let us dance. Today, we have churches and pastors publicly endorsing political candidates and parties. Today, we question the authenticity of someone's faith if they're not as passionate about one thing or another. Or we put unnecessary obstacles in the way of people freely coming to worship, whether those things are written, spoken, or unspoken. And I believe that people are smart. They know whether we say it or not, whether we accept them or welcome them. Years ago, I was talking with one of our church leaders about a controversial issue. "Tom," he said, "this is what you should do." And he grabbed a Bible and slapped it on the desk, and then he slowly pushed it toward me. He says, "Show me. Show me where it is forbidden. Show me where it is commanded." Jesus was harsh with the Pharisees and the scribes because they couldn't answer that charge. "Show me." They were making a mountain out of a molehill. They were majoring on minors. And even more importantly, they were condemning people. And they were holding people back from understanding the grace of God and the love of God that is so beautifully revealed in Jesus Christ. What really matters is true worship. Not what we do for God, but what He has done for us. True worship is not washing our hands before supper. True worship is receiving God's tremendous gift, even into our grubby little hands. True devotion is not polishing copper vessels. True devotion is filling these clay vessels with the true body and blood of Jesus. True faithfulness is not vacuuming and sweeping off our couches so that we can sit rightly with God. True faithfulness is the God who washes us with the water and the word of holy baptism. So leave other people's dirty hands alone. Allow your Christian friends to vote for the other guy or gal. Don't judge your sister or brother for their body art or their golf shirts. Don't leave the commandment of God, and don't abandon the good news of Jesus for the tradition of human beings. Things that we think that are important, and they might be, still should not be an obstacle keeping people from hearing the grace and mercy of God so beautifully revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a wide variety of human beings out there with different perspectives, different clothing, different traditions, different cultures. And not all these differences are bad. But Christ did die for all. It's not our job to change others. It's God's job to change all of us. And He does so by His grace. In His favor. And it's our privilege to preach the good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.